takes more than a physical attraction. My initial reaction is, honey, give me love, not a facsimile.
Oh, the Osmonds, of course, and Love Me For A Reason. And we're going to be speaking now to David Osmond, son of Alan Osmond, and, of course, member of the Osmonds second generation. Let's say good afternoon. How are you, David?
Phenomenal. It's so fun to hear that song.
Yeah.
Do you remember the Osmonds?
No, I was born in 1976. So
okay.
I'm 43. Don't get me wrong, I love the Osmond music. I really do. And I was kind of born out the wrong year anyway. So I love Elvis and stuff from the 50s as well. So,
The fact that you introduced that song as the proper version, that told me that you are a fan.
Absolutely.
That was cool to hear that song.
Boyzone did have a hit with that in the UK. I'm not sure whether Boyzone were well known in the US, but you may have heard their version as well.
Yes, I have. I've heard several different versions across the world,
yeah,
for that matter, over the years, and it's pretty cool to see kind of what my dad and my family, the legacy that they've created, and they're still, you know, creating.
Yeah,
still performing after all these years. It's pretty amazing.
But still, your voice is quite low, so I'm just going to ask you if you can get in any closer to that without kissing the mic.
Is this okay?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Now, I was going to ask you. I once interviewed a famous comedian's son, and I said to him, you know, you must have had an unusual childhood. And he said, well, it's the only one I ever knew. So me asking that question, I suppose, is a bit of a strange one, really, because I suppose you've got nothing to compare it with. But it would have been different to most people's.
You know, it's so true, because as a kid, you don't know any different. You just, at least for me, I thought, oh, every kid's dad does this. Every kid's dad flies around the country, is on tour buses, performing, goes out on stage, screaming audiences. This is normal. And it's not normal. And when you realize that as you get a little bit older, it's kind of a humbling thing.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool to look around the world and to feel the love and support from so many people that, you know, I've never even met. And as I go around, it's funny because, you know, as I travel myself, I'm in entertainment as an entertainer.
Yeah.
I'm a singer and I'm a TV show host. And I travel a lot. And when I go to the airport, for example, and I bring my ID out and go through security, inevitably, almost every single time, they stop me and they say, okay, wait a minute. Are you one of the Osmonds? And, you know, what's funny is sometimes I play stupid, and I probably shouldn't do that at TSA, going through security. But I kind of go, what do you mean? They go, oh, you know, like say Donnie and Marie, the Osmond brothers. I'm like, who's that? That I'm playing stupid. It's so funny. I've had people, TSA agents, singing Puppy Love to me.
Yeah.
singing Love Me For A Reason. And it's just kind of really cool to see what an impact my dad and his brothers have made on the world.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Is there pressure on you as a son to kind of always look spotless? Because the Osmonds to me, Donnie, of course, and just always look immaculately turned out. Have you got pressure on you to be, you know, to make sure that, you know, you look in the part all the time?
You know, you'd think so. I think maybe there's an underlying expectancy in some ways, but I don't feel that. My family's always encouraged me to be myself,
yeah,
to be true to myself. However, there have been there's a way that I was raised, and I recognize that, and I'm grateful for that, for the foundation. In fact, my grandparents, going back to, you know, my dad's dad, Iman, they really established a pattern of raising their children with, you know, the values that they expected.
Yeah.
And some of those things, when they got into show business when they were little kids, they said, okay, this is the order of things. It's God, then it's family, and then it's show business.
Yeah.
And they kept those priorities, and I appreciate that. And now as a dad myself, I know I want my kids to be who they are and not feel any pressure to be something they're not.
Yeah.
But to encourage them to be their best selves.
Well, as a pastor of a church myself, that's my other role. I completely agree with that order. That's absolutely great. Now, I was interested in the fact that for some people who have famous parents, it can be, I might be wrong in saying this, and please don't be offended, it can be a hindrance as much as a blessing. Is that something that you felt, you know, there's been times when it's been really good to have that, then there's times when I just wish my parents weren't famous?
You know, that's a really interesting question, and I really appreciate that question, because there's many times that people would think that, oh, you know, you're an Osmond, so your life's pretty darn easy.
Yeah.
I've always said this, Dave. I said, being an Osmond, it's a foot in the door, and it's a kick in the teeth. Yes. And it depends on the circumstance. Certainly, you know, it's a recognizable name, and it holds a lot of water. It holds great credibility, and there's a lot of expectancy. I mean, I stand on the shoulders of giants. I recognize that. However, as a music artist myself and a performer, sometimes, you know, people expect something from me before they even hear me.
Yeah.
And there's also, for better or worse, in many regards, many times in this industry, I have definitely lost jobs or not gotten a phone call back or a meeting because the fact that I was an Osmond.
Yeah.
And it just kind of is what it is. I've had many people in the industry say, you know what, you should change your name. Just go by something else. And then you don't have that baggage, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I know I am who I am. I have that Osmond smile, that Osmond look, and I'm very proud of who I am. And so come what may, for better or worse, you know, that's the name I go by. And
yeah.
I'm very proud of that.
And does that mean, I mean, I'm sure there are times also when it's actually helped you maybe get in because of the name. But do you find then that now you've actually come to a place where you're not Alan Osmond's son, but you are yourself, you are David Osmond, you know, because of what you do, and I mean, you've been involved with musicals, some great musicals, Andrew Lloyd Webber and others. And so in many ways, you've made your own bed, really.
Yeah, thank you for that. I appreciate that. I hope so. And you know, in this industry, you wear a lot of different hats. You reinvent yourself. You do lots of different things. And I've been fortunate since I was a little kid, first of all, to be able to travel all over the world as a young boy, and then as a performer, as a young kid. In many different regards, my brothers and I started out as a barbershop quartet, just like my dad, the exact same when we were just babies. And then we moved into kind of the boy band era, and we used to tour around, even through Europe, had several songs in the top 40 and be signed to Epic Sony in Europe and travel a ton and around the world for that matter. And then, yes, getting into Broadway, I got the opportunity. I got contacted by my Uncle Donnie's production company, and I was doing several different musicals. And they hired me to be Donnie's replacement in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat.
Wow.
And that was, you know, years ago. And I remember them, they called up Donnie and said, hey, guess who we're replacing you with? It's your nephew. And that was amazing to be able to go out there on a stage that Donnie had, you know, just been so effective and amazing, such an incredible performer. And then to be able to fill those shoes was such an honor.
And
now to be able to do, you know, going into pop music, and now my own. In fact, my new band I've got is now a big band. It's kind of the American songbook, like Frank Sinatra or Michael Bublé. And I got 16 guys behind me, and it's a whole new phase of music, and it's awesome. It's so much fun. And hopefully, like back to your question, I can carve my own path that way.
I'll ask you a little bit more about that in a moment. I just want to ask you about stepping into Donny Osmond's shoes as far as in Joseph. You know, so iconic in that role for you. I suppose it would be difficult for anybody, but because you're an Osmond, are they expecting you to come on and be like Donnie? You know, because because of the family trait there, or were they open to say, you know what, you know, make it your own as well, put your own mark on it?
You know, in some ways, yes, definitely be yourself in that role. But genetics are a real thing. There's no question. And one of the greatest compliments I think I got when not only did I replace Donnie as Joseph when he left the show, but also I was there in case Donnie got sick before he left the show. And there was many times, actually quite a few times, he got laryngitis. And I filled in for Donnie when people came expecting to see Donnie. And so, you know, tonight the role of Joseph would be played by David Osmond.
Yeah.
And people are kind of like, what? No. You know?
Yeah.
After the shows, the best compliments I got was from Donnie's wife, my aunt. And she came up and said, David, it was the biggest trip of my life to be able to get out there and watch the show. And I honestly, David, I was watching my husband play Joseph 30 years younger. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
it was crazy. to see that. And then people would leave the theater and the ushers would tell me, oh my gosh, like that was the greatest show. But I thought Donnie was sick tonight. They actually thought they saw Donnie.
Oh, wow. That's so brilliant.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. But,
so that was a huge compliment. And Donnie's just, he's incredible. He and I were just talking yesterday and he's such a mentor and friend, not just an uncle, but really has helped lead me and guide me in that.
Yeah. And I mean, the Osmonds themselves was such a massive act, weren't they, in the 70s? Am I right in saying that actually Bob Hope had a big part in playing, bringing exposure, should I say, to the Osmonds?
Yes, he did. Absolutely. Back in the day and was a dear friend and had them on his TV shows many times. And then when I was a kid, he saw me and my brothers on a local TV show, talent show, and had invited us to come on to his big Christmas national wow. television show. And that was kind of a kickstarter to us as kids for our music group and being able to tour around and get some exposure. So yes, he was and such an immense talent. And as a TV show host that he was, I look at him as a huge icon.
Yeah.
Because I host a kids TV show now. We're on 52 weeks a year, every single Saturday and Sunday in the United States on Up TV as well as syndication. And it's a show called Wonderama. And it's a kids show, and it's just a blast.
Wow.
So I look at icons like Bob Hope and so many others that were trailblazers as templates on what to follow and how to be the best host I can.
Well, maybe we'll try and get that show for my kids here in Spain as well. Was it usual to maybe meet famous people when you were a child? I mean, did your parents try and kind of keep a normal family lifestyle at home?
They tried this as best they could. It was a unique childhood in the fact, not just do I have seven brothers, there's eight of us, no girls. That right there makes it a very unique situation.
Yeah.
But growing up with, you know, me and my three older brothers, the four of us were of this quartet, this singing group, and we were touring around all the time. We lived on the road performing. And again, like going back to the original question, I just thought that was normal. Because I just saw that with my dad. So it didn't change anything about what I expected. But when we were home, my parents tried to make it as normal as possible, being in soccer, being in football, being in having friends, playing games, having sports, having other things, activities, to be as normal as possible. But I think it's a very hard line to walk.
Yeah.
Because show business is its own lifestyle in many ways. So my parents really tried to establish those foundations, just like my grandparents, of keeping us normal, keeping us, having us have values, making sure that we figure out for ourselves who we are as kids.
Yeah. And one of the things I wanted to ask you about, because I know it's part of your life and your dad's life, and you do a lot of work here. My mum, in her 50s, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis. So it's something that's very dear to my heart, and I've seen the effect it's had on her life. What effect has it had on your life?
Having the world of multiple sclerosis in my life, it's been there pretty much ever since I can remember. Because my dad was diagnosed when I was just a little kid. And since he was diagnosed with MS, since the very beginning, and he still says it today, he says, David, you know what? I may have MS, but MS does not have me. And he doesn't just say that like it's a bumper sticker. He truly lives his life that way. And even though MS took him off the stage and he's no longer able to perform and hasn't been able to do so for a long time, it doesn't get him down.
Yeah.
He has a soaring spirit. And having a dad with that example is such a gift for me. And Dave, thank you for sharing that about your mom.
Well, I wanted to say
years ago, I was diagnosed myself.
Yeah.
I don't know if you know this.
Yeah, that's what I read, similar to what you're saying there, my mum, who's now just about to turn 70, she's walking around, and every time I go back to England, because I live in Spain, when I go back to England, it seems like she's deteriorated, but she's still walking. And a friend of hers said, Dave, she's going to keep walking. If she goes in a chair, that'll be it. But she's still fighting, and she's still fighting it. And
you know what? That is awesome. I'm glad she is. Keep fighting.
Yeah.
In fact, that's really the key that I've learned. I was diagnosed about 13 years ago. And Dave, believe it or not, when I was diagnosed, I was dating my wife at the time.
Yeah.
And I was in a chair. I was in a wheelchair. Wow. And from the chest down, I couldn't move almost anything. And the fact that I still have MS, but it doesn't have me. I'm on my feet. I'm walking, I'm moving, even though wow. I have crushing pain
yeah.
in my body every second of the day. Even though I've got lots of other complications that you may not see, I am beyond blessed. And every single step I take, I feel my dad. And I feel people like your mom and millions of others that are fighting
yeah.
to be well.
And
it's an unpredictable disease.
Do you find it difficult because you look okay, so people assume you're okay, and then you don't want to keep telling everybody I'm in lots of pain because, you know, nobody needs to hear that all the time. So
yeah, exactly.
They can just assume that you're okay.
Yeah, and you know, it's I want to help for my kids be what my dad was for me. And if I sit there and I'm always complaining and I want to be the example for them because
yeah.
no matter what in this life, we all go through stuff. You know, these are the cards I was dealt right now. And how I deal with it is, I hope, a good example to them, how they'll deal with the stuff that they're going to get, whatever that may be. And yes, I have this constant pain all over my body. I have a lot of other issues,
yeah.
but the fact that I can still do what I can do. I know what I can't do,
yeah.
Dave. I know those things that are taken. But because I know what I can't do, I know what I can do.
Yeah.
And those things mean that much more. In fact, I wrote a song that came out not too long ago, and I'll get you a copy of it. It's called I
Brilliant.
Can Do This.
Oh, fantastic.
And it's an anthem of, you know what? This life is so short, and it's not the disease that gets you down. It's the lack of hope.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of hope to be had in this life. And you find your village, you find that hope, and connect with those that understand. Yes, a lot of people may not know that I deal with that, and it's constantly in my life. But those that do know, they can see the signs.
Well,
and I have a great support.
You put me to shame because I have what's called, I don't know if you have it in America, it's called man flu. And in England, basically, it's a normal cold, a normal kind of flu. But men have it worse than women because we're just not good at pain, generally men. And so I suddenly become irritable, not able to do anything. And basically it's just a cold. so I don't know. It's called man flu. I want you to introduce that to America. It's basically, it's the same as a cold, but when men get it, we moan more. So our pain threshold is lower.
I will say women are inevitably way tougher than men. I mean, if it were up to the guys to have the babies, the population would be like 12.
Yeah.
I'm blown away by the strength of my wife, by my mom, by so many others. And so I'm with you in your camp, dude. Sometimes I am a baby.
Oh, fantastic.
But I try hard.
Yeah. Well, listen, we've got about 1 minute left. Tell us about this band as well, the big band that you're doing, because it must be quite a thing to. I love Sinatra and I love all the crooners and Rat Pack and so on.
I'm going to get you the first copy.
Yeah.
It's called the Osmond Chapman Orchestra.
Oh, O-C-O. Fantastic. Yeah, brilliant.
Osmond Chapman Orchestra. And it's we call it the New American Songbook.
Yeah.
The very first cassette tape that I owned when I was a kid was Frank Sinatra. And I just love that sound, that style.
Yeah.
And so with this band, brand new, we have a brand new album. It's going to come out in August, and I'll make sure you get one of the first copies.
Lovely. Because we'll play it on this show a lot, that's for sure.
Yeah, dude, yeah. I hope you love it, because we do some of the old songs from Bobby Darin to Sinatra, but new, fresh arrangements.
Yeah.
And then we do some of the new American songbooks. We take songs from whether it's Bruno Mars,
yeah.
or if it's Johnny Cash or Elvis Presley.
Yeah.
And we'll do big band arrangements to that,
oh,
as
brilliant.
Well as some original songs.
That's right up my street. That's
dude,
Bobby Darin, for me, one of the most underrated artists of all time. Yeah, I love Johnny Cash as well. Brilliant. Well, as soon as that's available,
I'm actually going to be coming over to England.
Yeah.
I know you're in Spain.
Yeah, but come to Spain. Come over here. Yeah.
Dude, I used to live in Spain.
Whereabouts?
I lived there for 2 years. I was in Madrid.
Oh, fantastic. We're down on the south coast near Marbella in Malaga. Yeah.
But it's gorgeous there.
We've just had Bob Dylan here playing in a castle on the south coast of Spain in a concert here.
No me digas.
And we've got...
Polines.
Sorry?
I said, no me digas. I said,
you
speak Spanish?
un poco. And 2 years ago, and I don't know if I can say this because it might be advertising, but 2 years ago I went and saw the Beach Boys, and they're in their 70s, and they were playing live. There was three of the original members there, and they were awesome. So, and what I find amazing about when we talk about the Osmonds or the Beach Boys or Jacksons maybe, and the Carpenters and so on, I was there with a whole load of older people, and then there's a whole load of young Spanish people singing Beach Boys songs. And they must have been about 18 years of age. That music, good music, never goes out.
It doesn't. It really does. Dude, when I was a kid, we got to open up for the Beach Boys. And it was a thrill for me because we knew all those songs.
Yeah.
We used to do a Beach Boys medley. And then just this last year, about 4 months ago, I was on tour doing some shows with my Aunt Marie. So Marie and I sometimes go out on the road and perform. And we were down in Southern California, right where the Beach Boys were playing the night before. So we got a chance to go see their show. And those songs are just timeless. And the crowd was going crazy.
Yeah.
It was a different demographic than me. But still, they were having a blast.
That's great. Well, unfortunately, we've gone way over our time slot, but I've been so much enjoying chatting to you, David, and could be talking to you all afternoon. Thank you for coming on.
Let's do it again sometime. When I get this album out, I'll come back on.
I will do that. I will hold you to that. I will. Okay. Thank you, David. You have a great day. Take care.
Thanks. All the best.
God bless.
See you soon.
Bye-bye.